It was our 10th anniversary, and I said he has got to be here physically to do that. Dr. Winston is a visionary leader. He was inspired and influenced for leadership by the numerous educators, scientists, and physicians who surrounded him as a youth, and by the historic aviation accomplishments of the Tuskegee Airmen who served as his role model. He is a graduate of the internationally known Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, where Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver's legacies of leadership and invention permeated the environment. Dr. Winston served for 6 years as a fighter pilot in the United States Air Force, where his extraordinary achievements in aerial flight earned him the Distinguished Flying Cross, the Air Medal for performance in combat. Let me repeat, in combat. And the Squadron Top Gun Award. After completing his military service at the rank of a captain, Dr. Winston joined IBM Corporation as a marketing representative, where his exceptional managerial and relational skills earned him several promotions before he resigned in 1985 to enter into full-time ministry. He was a regional marketing manager in IBM's Midwest region. He is the founder and senior pastor of the Living Word Christian Center, a multicultural, non-denominational church with more than 20,000 members located in Forest Park, Illinois, and the Living Word Christian Center, Tuskegee, in Alabama. Dr. Winston is also the founder and president of the internationally accredited Joseph Business School, JBS, which teaches practical and biblical principles to empower adults to develop indispensable skills as successful entrepreneurs and business leaders. The Joseph Business School also has an online program. Alumni of Joseph Business School or students, just shout, we are here. All right then. So we've had a few graduates also who have been trained there. Let's rise to our feet as we welcome to the podium for his first session, Dr. Bill Winston.
To the Lord. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much for this opportunity again to feed your sheep. We thank you for the opportunity again to spread the word of God throughout the earth. Lord, I pray the anointing be upon me and these lips of clay that I speak this word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness, asking you to think through my mind and speak through my lips that this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force, and that signs, wonders, and miracles will follow the word preached. We thank you for it. We call it done. In Jesus' name, if you agree, shout amen.
Amen.
Take your seats, please. Woo-hoo! Now, I heard one over there. Where did it come from? Right over here. I heard a flow. No, I heard it right over here. Come here, come here. Who is that I heard? Right over here. No, not you. Go sit down. I heard you. Here you go. $100. U.S. dollars. Over. This $100 only answers to flow if it's spoken in faith. You got to speak it in faith. Amen. Give a hand clap for the man of God of this house, Santoyan, the First Lady. Give them a hand clap. Come on, stand up. Give them a hand clap for the work that they're doing. Amen. Amen. Take your seats. Well, I bid you greetings from Chicago, where God lives, and He lives here in Nigeria. We're so glad to be here. I brought with me the president now of the Joseph Business School, so international all around the world, and she's running them for me and doing a great job. Dr. Dolores Thomas. Dr. Thomas, stand up so they can see you. I'll have her to say a word on tomorrow. Well, we thank you so much for having us here. We get right into the Word of God. Let's open our Bibles, please. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. I'm going to start up here, but I'll probably end up down here. Isaiah chapter 8. Let's talk on a subject this morning or afternoon. Let's talk on the subject of becoming miracle-minded. Becoming miracle-minded. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. He says, "And I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel." That's all we're going to read of that. "I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders." It's a prophetic word about the church, and here God's people are people who have been designed, been made for signs and for wonders. Let's go all the way over to Ephesians, please, in chapter 5 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. He said in the King James, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." Let's put it up in the Amplified. The Amplified translation comes with a little bit different meaning, or give you a little bit more depth. He said, "Be ye imitators of God, copy Him and follow His example, as well-beloved children imitate their father." Now, the first says, "Be ye followers of God." Here, "Be ye imitators of God, copy Him and follow His example, as well-beloved children imitate their father." So here he's telling us to imitate God, to imitate God. And that's our commission and command, that we are to imitate our Father. Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father do." And let's go to one more place. Let's go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. It said, "Brethren, I commend thee to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." This word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Say, "I'm sanctified." Say, "I'm filled with the Holy Ghost." In Jesus' name. All right, so we're going to kind of have our teaching as far as this subject is concerned around those verses. And it's very important here now that you know, I like this soft carpet up here, boy. I feel like I'm riding on a cloud. You know what I mean? Amen, amen. But it's very important that we understand that miracles are needed today. This whole idea about God says, you're made for signs and wonders. It's very important for God that we live up to how we've been designed to live. Let's open with some opening thoughts. First, the Bible is a miracle book. The Bible is a miracle book. From beginning to end, it is a miracle book. I remember when we were buying our first shopping mall, and I remember this mall covered so much territory that it was the largest, land mass portion of land that was in that particular part of town. And the mayor over that particular village, they had voted that we could not have a church in that mall, those 33 acres there. And so I asked one of the people who was a lawyer on my board, I said, you know, what do we do about that? I said, now we purchased a mall and now we're going to have services in there tomorrow night. What do we do? And he said, well, Pastor, it looks like to me you're just going to have to sue them. I said, oh, sue them. Okay. I said, now how long will that take? He said, well, it could take about 5 years. I said, 5 years? I got to be in there tomorrow night. So I needed a
miracle.
Come on. I needed a
miracle.
Okay. Now, I'm saying that because you got to get miracle-minded. God has got miracles are not just something that, oh, I'm so desperate and I'm hurting and I'm sick and I need a miracle. No, 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 no. The first miracle Jesus did was in John chapter 2, and it was a miracle of luxury. Got it? You don't have to be hurting to need a miracle. And so I'm saying here, I needed a miracle. So what happened is I asked another person, he said, well, you're going to have to maybe, let's find a place up north and so forth. All these suggestions. Why? Because they weren't miracle. Come on, you got to help me, saints. They were not miracle. See, a miracle can do it in an hour. So what happened? What did God tell me to do? He said, now I want you to go home. He said, tonight go to bed early and wake up early and pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit. Now, if you know anything about prayer in the Spirit, that's a supernatural way of praying. You're bringing it up from your spirit. And then he said, ask him for interpretation. So I did that early in the morning. And the interpretation was, take the Bible, take Romans chapter 13, and read the Maya verses 1 through 5. Whoa! Now, how many of you know, if you're going to deal with God, you got to begin, get yourself ready for foolish thoughts? All right, if you're going to work a miracle. And so what did I do? I said, okay, I had spoken tongue, asked God for interpretation, and this is what I heard. Take Romans chapter 13, read 1 through 5 to the mayor. So I called the office of the mayor. I said, Mayor, I need to see the mayor. And they said, the mayor is busy. Her schedule is busy, so forth. I said, no, I just bought the biggest piece of land. Our church just bought the biggest piece of land in this whole area. Now, I need to see the mayor. Oh, Reverend, well, let me get back to you. Are you going to be around for a few minutes? I said, yeah. And they called me back, and they said, Reverend, the mayor will see you for 15 minutes. Well, how long does it take to read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5? I don't need but a few minutes. So what happened? I got there, we did a little small talk, and I opened the Bible and said, this is what the Lord told me to read to you. I read it, and the mayor began to tremble. Now, if you look in his Bible, you will see that that same kind of thing happened on occasion of Acts chapter 24, and verse 25, when Paul was called before Felix, the governor, and he told the governor about things regarding righteousness and things regarding a couple other things, and the fear of the Lord came on the governor, and the next thing the Bible says is the governor trembled. So you can make people in high places tremble. This is the wrong crowd. I'll wait on the crowd tomorrow. I'm saying to you now that this whole idea of being miracle-minded is something that you've got to get a hold of, because the enemy has tried to get the miracles out of the church. And he knew if he did, then evil will continue to
gain ground.
And so what you don't want is you don't want that. Look what's happening. Look what's happening in the school systems. Look what's happening in corrupt governments. Look what's happening. Evil is gaining ground. But maybe one reason it's gaining ground is because the Bible, the miracles of the Bible or the miracles that God has planned for his people are not happening. And so we got to get it back. I'm going to say that one more time. We got to get him back. So what happened? The mayor began to tremble. The mayor ran in to see the building commissioner, came back out and said, Reverend, I don't know what we're going to do. We have had a meeting of the people who are controlling the village, and they have all voted that you cannot have a church service in that building, in that, on that property, and it is now law. No problem. See, I just did that. She said this. But I tell you what. Let me try to do something for you, and I'll get back to you in about an hour and a half. And got back to him in an hour and a half and said, Reverend, I'm going to let you go in there and have service tonight. And this is the only night you'll have service in there. I'll keep the police away and let you have service tonight. Well, I had service that night, the next night, the next night, the next night, the next night. Because I was miracle. So what am I saying? One, the Bible is a miracle book. It's a miracle book. And the things that come to us having to do with solutions and also supplies, these things come usually in a supernatural way. The things that God has for us. Here is Jesus feeding 5,000. He started with how many loaves of bread? Five loaves and how many fishes? Two fish. And how many did he feed? 5,000 plus women and children. Say 5,000 plus women and children. Now, with two fish, come on, help me, five loaves of bread. Am I right about that? Where did the bread come from? I got $100. Where did the bread come from? Where did the bread come from? Too many of y'all got the right answer. Okay. Now it came from heaven. It came from God. It came from the kingdom. It came, this is what he said, be fruitful, what? Multiply, replenish the earth and subdue. This whole idea of production from your spirit is the way Adam functioned. Now I'm going to teach you something while I'm here, and I've got three shots at you. Praise God. This is the first one. Now, we got to look at this. I've got to stay miracle-minded. Because God has made me for signs and wonders. I'm made for it. Okay? I'm not made to operate like the people who don't know God. I'm made to operate on a whole nother level. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, so here, things, solutions, and things that I might need, these things are coming from God. So I need a solution from God as to how to get in the shopping mall when a law has been made against me that I could not get in there. God not only opened up the door by making the mayor tremble, but he also changed the law in the book in City Hall. Supernatural. I told the lawyer, Lou Vitullo, I said, Lou, go check that law again and see what it says. Now understand, they had changed it according to their new law, but God changed it back. Now see, if I don't get no amens out of that, that means I need some teaching here. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, so this carpet make you feel like you want to lay down on it, you know, just stretch out. Praise God. All right. If miracles are not happening, if signs and wonders are not happening, evil gains ground. Evil gains ground. The only way you're going to stop Satan's move is supernaturally. The only way. You can have services until you are blue in the face. I know you'll not be blue, but you can have services until you don't feel like having service anymore. And that's fine. But that's not going to stop the devil. What's going to stop the devil, if you know how to use God's word and be able to take it where the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Say amen to that. If I read the Bible and I read it right, it says God will make me the head and not the tail. He will make me the lender, come on help me, and not the borrower. He said here that everything I lay my hands to will prosper. I mean, all of that's in here. My question is, are you living that? See, because if we're not living that, we got some work to do. Say amen to this.
Amen.
All right, so let's keep going. So let's look at this. Number one, if you're keeping notes. We, in the scriptures, over in Judges chapter 6 and verse 13, an angel came to Gideon, and he said to Gideon, "Hello there, my mighty man of valor." This might be in the verse before that. But Gideon said, and I'm going to put it in my own words, "Who, me?" He said that if God be with us, where are all the miracles that our fathers told us about? And why is all this befalling us? If God be with us, if God be for us, if God be with us, if he's here, if we're covenant part of God's family, where are all the miracles? Now that's a good question. So here is Jesus, and Jesus comes into the earth. And one of the things that we see that this Bible is a miracle book, that if you go back to Noah, in Noah chapter 7, here is a flood that came on the earth. God is about to flood the earth, and he tells Noah, come on, I'm going to have you to build an ark. And I'm going to have animals of certain types, 2 of some type, 7 of some type, and I'm going to have them come into the ark. Now, all of that is a miracle because some of the animals came from as far as Australia. Unimpressed. And so, now, understand, after the flood occurred, here are the animals on the ark. Now, normally, if you've got that many animals on a ship, and you kept them that long, come on, help me, somebody. You wouldn't be able to stay on that ship. But something happened to the natural process. Glory to God. Am I right about this? And then once the water subsided, and now Noah, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 9 in verse 1, it says that, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Check this out. Now when he said that to Noah, what was left in the earth after the flood? Come on. Zero. He's going to have to start where Adam started. And God blessed him. He blessed him. You know, there can be conditions happening in your city that only the blessing can fix. Look what it said in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, come on, help me, be fruitful, come on, and multiply, come on, and finish the earth, come on, and subdue it, and come on, and have dominion. Stop right there. This is what God said to Adam. Adam was to turn every place in the garden, pardon me, in the earth, into the garden. God gave him a prototype. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to turn every place you go into that. Now, I'm going to work with you. You're going to speak things. Glory to God. And that's why he said this whole idea of, I think it's Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 16. I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you in the shadow of my hand that I may plant the heavens and say unto Zion, come on, thou art my people. Now I'm saying to you, all this is prophetic. Now stay with me. Come on now. Saints, listen. I didn't come here broke. I came in my own jet. I have the shopping malls. I got, come on, business schools all over. I know something. Listen to me and get what I got so that you can do what I'm doing. And come on. I'm talking about when the pastor has his meetings, you don't need to raise money for a meeting. It ought to be one person that stands up in the middle of the group, say, Pastor, I got it covered. What is the budget? The budget is $1.5 million USD. And so you should say, I got you covered. I'm saying, as long as you've been hearing this word, you ought to be ruling. You ought to be buying land. You ought to be, come on. I'm talking to you. I'm not backing up on you. I'm going to tell you what you're supposed to have, and in Jesus' name, you're going to get it. Now, don't be looking at yourself and say, well, I didn't go to Harvard or Oxford or something. Can you talk? Because if you can talk and you can hear God's voice, you can do what God wants you to do. Say amen. Wow. I had to stand up in one of our services because of crime that's going on in the city. They're arresting a lot of the young African-American boys, young men, putting them in jail. So here's what I said. In the name of Jesus, we are turning jails into boarding schools. Now, what happened? The blessing went to work. Glory to God. This is what Jesus preached in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. He spoke to a fig tree in verse 14, and then it came back And they said in verse 21, 22, Master, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Jesus didn't run out and get an axe and chop it down. Jesus didn't get a saw and saw it down. Jesus didn't get a shovel and dig it up. Jesus spoke. And I'm telling you, it's time for you to say something. And if you believe what you say is going to come to pass, come on, you will have... Come on, saints, come on. Come on now with me. So what happened? Return in jails and the boarding school. That's all I need to say. Now, God is working. Why? Because God's ability is at my disposal. I'll try it one more time. God's ability is at my disposal. I got that jet by words. Man, this thing is set. Am I by myself? All right. Can I come down here, Reverend? Okay, I'm going to come down here. Come on down, huh? I don't need the podium. I just take my Bible and hold it in my hand. Now, I want you to see this. This is very important here. All right. I'm down here where I can breathe on you.
See, y'all gotta get miracle minded, man. Hey, am I right about it?
When the locust came in and came into Egypt, the Bible says when Moses was gonna get rid of the locust, a wind came. And anything that was favoring a locust had to get up out of there. Had to leave. And I'm saying, suppose I can blow. And anything that favors debt in your life. You're going to get there by the time I leave here. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying I've got to be miracle-minded. And what Jesus did is he came to restore what was lost. He had to bring him back up to it. Now, first of all, in the Bible, miracles. Who would I have? Moses. Moses. Notice he had miracles in his life. Here's Moses. Noah, I think I talked about that, Noah. But Noah had the ship. Here's Moses, he had to go down to Egypt. Well, look what it says here. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse 9. Here's God talking to Moses. He said, hey, listen. When Pharaoh asks you to show him a miracle, do this. He didn't say if Pharaoh asked. What did he say?
When?
I'm saying to beat the devil, you're going to have to know something. And I'm saying God plans for the church to be triumphant. We're supposed to be the head and not the tail. Now, he taught Moses miracles because he had to teach it. Now, Moses had been used to the magicians, but we're talking about something above magic. Here, over here in Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, he had Moses to throw down a rod, and the rod turned into a serpent. And then he told Moses this, watch this. Now, grab it by the tail. Moses jumped back. He said, grab it by the tail.
grabbed it by the tail, it turned into a rod. Now, when these miracles take place, you've got to trust God. You've got to trust Him that what He says is going to work. I don't care what your professor taught you. I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost is now going to be your teacher. You're now in a class called Spiritology. God's going to use you to do things. Glory to God. Can I release this? God's going to choose you to do things that's going to change Nigeria. Glory to God. Jesus. So what's happening? So he's teaching Moses this thing. And then he sends him down here, and Moses working all these miracles to get the people out. So miracles are needed to deliver people. They're needed to deliver people. And here's another one. If you Lord have mercy. If you see, I don't want to go too deep because I got to keep you with me. I want you to be with me because I want you to believe that you can come into a meeting broke and money be in your pocketbook when you leave. No, okay. Oh, you're going to get it by the time of 50. Okay, all right, okay. I get too excited. All right, let's keep going on this. Here's Moses. How about Abraham? Abraham had miracles in his life. All right, God told Abraham, hey, in Genesis chapter 17, hey, listen. Your name no longer is going to be Abram, but it's going to be Abraham, for a father of many nations that have I made you. Notice, it says when he was 99 years old and 9 and beyond childbearing. So Moses couldn't have children anymore. His wife never could have children. But God spoke. Moses believed God. And something happened to Sarah's womb. And something happened to Moses. Say amen to that. Yeah. Something happened to Moses. And here they had a son. Now, I'm saying this because if I go on down in Isaac's life, Isaac sowed in Genesis 26 in a land of famine, in verse 12, and he received a hundredfold when? Right now. During a famine, he received a hundredfold. No, listen, I'm going to be patient with you because you're going to get there. Folks, if you get what I'm talking about right now, God, you, Lord, have mercy. Okay. So, here is Moses. Here's Abraham. Here is Isaac. Here is Jacob. Jacob worked for a man named Laban. Laban had him working for 20 years, and he didn't have enough money to go to South Africa. So what happened is he got miracle money. He said, don't pay me any more salary. He said, my righteousness is going to speak for me. And all of a sudden, God gave him a God idea. Watch this. And in Genesis chapter 31, verse 1, and Laban's son was heard saying this, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. So he got, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. Laban had it. So let me just keep going. I'm trying to break it down to it. Do you all mind if I stay up there? I can't come down. It's tough to come down here to this. All right. Here we go. Now, Joseph. How about Joseph? Joseph had a dream. Genesis 37.
told it to his brothers. His brothers got mad about it. They wanted to kill him. Did they kill him? No, they couldn't kill him because the blessing was on him. So when the blessing is on you, can't nobody hurt you. Now what they did is they sold him, but they didn't realize that they were moving in the plan of God. They were moving him down into an environment that was conducive for him to bring forth the most powerful economy that the world had ever seen. He needed to go to a certain place. And I'm telling you, when I first came here, the pastor had me under a tent preaching. Matter of fact, he wasn't even married then, was he, Lord? He wasn't even married. Now, look at him now. Now, something is on his life. I'm saying with the blessing on his life, if you go around people with the blessing on their life, you're going to get blessed too. I'm saying you ought to be glad you're here. You ought to be shouting about praise that you're here. So here is Joseph. Joseph was in prison. This is what he said in prison. When the other two men got thrown in prison, Joseph came to him and said, "Why are you so sad today?" Now he's in prison, they're in prison, and he's talking about they're sad. Why? Because Joseph never lost the vision of what God had given him, that he's going to be a ruler over the world. Glory to God. So what happens now? Here is Joseph. There's a hot spot here somewhere. Give me my water. There's a hot spot here somewhere. And I'm going to find it. It's in this church. I'm talking about there's a spot in this church that's not like other spots. There is a hot spot here somewhere. There is a place in this church that revival is about to break out. All right. Okay. Ran all them demons out. Okay. Now, let's go. So, if you go on down, now you'll see Jesus. And Jesus brought miracles. And he had one miracle after another. As a matter of fact, put it up here. And if you put up here, Matthew's Gospel chapter 21 and verse 25. And it's saying here that Jesus did so many miracles until he had all the books in the earth, they couldn't hold the miracles that he did. Say amen to that. So Jesus did all these miracles. Now, I know we have the wisdom of God. Look what Jesus said about himself. Look what he said. This is found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. And this is what was said about him. Whence has this man this wisdom and these what?
Mighty works.
So notice how those two go together. So wisdom and mighty works go together. God spoke to me about what to do about getting the church in this particular mall and have services there. That was the wisdom of God. And then when I went and then spoke that wisdom to the mayor, a miracle started taking place. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's going to be wisdom and mighty works. Say wisdom and mighty works. All right, let's keep going. All right. Now, let's look at some scripture, and let's look at a couple of things in scripture. Because what Jesus did, he came to bring us back up to where we're supposed to be. Look at Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 1, verse 14. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, he talks about the fact that Jesus came preaching the kingdom and saying, "Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Say, believe the gospel. So he is saying, I want you to repent. Repent means to turn away from the way you're going, from the way you're thinking. And I want you to think another way. He came to bring us back up to the place that Adam was before the fall. Now, here is Jesus working these miracles. Now, he's going to teach his disciples to work miracles. Let's see what he did first. He chose his disciples. Did he choose any of the religious leaders?
No.
No. Say no.
No.
No. He chose the more common people, and he chose them, and now he's turning them into miracle workers. All right, let's look at Matthew's gospel and Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7. And look what it says here in Matthew 10:7. He's saying he sent him forth and he said, I want you to do something. I want you to, come on, heal the sick. Come on, what else? Cleanse the leper. Come on. Raise the dead. Come on. Cast out demons. Free you give. Now stop right there. Now, he's telling them, I want you to do what I've been doing. Now, how can you do what I've been doing? Let's look at John chapter 14, verse 10. Jesus said, it's not me. It's the Father in me. Come on, help me. He's doing the work. So who's doing the work?
The Father.
Jesus is being used as God's channel or God's source that he can get into the earth and do what he's already always wanted to do. So he's going to use a person to do that. Now, the tendency that we have is to say, I can't do that. Right. You can't do it. But God can. Look at verse 12. Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, come on, shall he do also, keep going, and greater works, because I go where? To my Father. So I'm just saying to you that what Jesus did, you can do. Jesus was the sample son. He was the sample, come on, son. He was coming to bring us back to where we're supposed to be and demonstrate what we can do.
Yes.
Is this the right bunch?
Yes.
Let me come over here. All right, look at Matthew's gospel. And Matthew, please, in chapter 14. And Matthew chapter 14, and let's go on down here to verse 28. And in 28, Matthew 14, that's that air. Hallelujah. See, that's that wind blowing. See, I'm still talking about that wind. All right, so look what happened. Here is Jesus coming to them, walking on the water. Oh, my goodness. He's walking on the water. Here's what Peter says. Hey, wait a minute. Jesus said, be not afraid, it is I. Peter said, now wait a minute. If that is you, tell me to come to you, come on the water. And Jesus says what?
Come.
So it must be the will of God that you walk on water. Man, this is a tough group. It must be the will. No, you're not. You're easy. It must be the will of God that God's people do what Jesus did. Come on, saints of God. It is not you. Jesus said, it's the Father in me. He's doing the work. We're turning jails and the borders. Well, what has happened since then? They had us in there first to breach, and we started having our services to be broadcast behind the gates in the prison at Cook County Jail. And then the next thing you know, they wanted to come and teach some. So I have one of my books called, have to do with, renewing the mind, so forth, and they start teaching that in there. And then the next thing you know, I'm called up to White House and meeting in the cabinet room with the president talking about how we're doing prison reform our way. And then the next thing, now I'm talking about by one word being released. See, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, where the word of a king is, there is power. And you're a king. Do you hear what I'm saying? And the next thing you know, here we are teaching now. Next thing you know, I'm sitting and I'm being called and I'm standing up at the podium in Cook County Jail giving a graduation speech for the people who are graduating behind the bars that have gone through our course. Now, next thing you know, here we are. And the next thing the city decides, let's put a high school in Cook County.
Jail. Let's take a high school and start a high school in jail. Now, isn't that what I said? We're turning jails into boarding schools. It's only a word. Come on, saints. You are not a grasshopper. You're a game changer. And let me tell you, there's so much power coming through you. God says he's giving you, he's got his word, his power. It's at your disposal. How much of it are you going to use? Don't let this world go by and you not use the power that will hook you up with Almighty God. God, well, what is it that God cannot do? He cannot lie. But other than that, he can fix anything that needs to be fixed. But he's telling you how you're going to do it. It's going to be through words. Words, he's taking you back to the garden. He's saying, I want you to speak it. And when you speak it, believe you received it when you spoke it. Boy, this guy now. All right, let me just. Now, where are we now? We are at the point where we're going to put behind the bars in Cook County Jail a trading platform. They're about to do stock trading. You better hear what I'm telling you, saints. The power of the blessing. The word of God, when it is released out of somebody who knows who they are. Folks, I believe the whole fight is over your image. The devil wants you to think that you're a grasshopper and you're a giant killer. Every place God sends you, every promise and every destiny, Satan sends a giant to keep you from it. And one of them might be fear. Another one might be, well, I don't have that much education. And that whatever it is, he's sending a giant. That giant's supposed to turn you around and make you go back to Egypt. And I decree you're not going back to Egypt. In Jesus' name. And what am I saying now? I'm saying God has a big plan for you. All right? Let me just test your mind now in terms of being miracle-minded. So, here, miracles are work. And look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. And look what it says. Because of one miracle, how many got saved? 3,000. Let's go to another one. Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. Another miracle was worked. How many got saved? Look at the rate of people coming into the kingdom with miracles. Here's what Jesus said over in John chapter 4 and verse 48. He said, except they see signs and wonders, come on, help me. They won't believe. Well, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Yeah, you can do that. And you can win one here and one there and one there. You're not keeping up with the birth rate. We're behind, saints. Why? Because no miracles. Demonstrate to the God that I serve. He's going to deliver you. Say amen to that. And you better get gangster You got to get ruthless with it. You got to get aggressive. You got, because the enemy will try to tell you, that's not going to work. Now, that thing, you, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say all of that if I were you. No, don't back down from nobody. Say amen to that. Say, no, I'll have these debts paid off this month. In Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Give God something to do. Please. It's the Father in me. He's going to do the work. How we doing? We're doing all right? Let me keep going. Let me keep going. We're working our way to a close. All right. Okay, now watch this. Acts chapter 5, verse 19. They took the apostles, caused the miracles, put them in jail. The big council met of the Jewish leaders. They said, go get them. We're going to interrogate them. Go get them out of jail. Bring them here. They sent the runner to go get them out of jail. He came back. He said, wait a minute, wait a minute. I went to the jail. The jail was locked. The guards were in place. But nobody was in it. How did they get out? Let me go to the other side. No, 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 no. I'm getting you to be miracle-minded. There is nothing in this earth that can hold you back. Not a single thing. Nothing in this earth. I want you to believe the impossible. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Whatever you believe causes the power to flow. If you believe God can do it, He's going to do it. And if you believe He can do it through you, He's going to do it through you. This friend of mine, I guess he came out with this virus and so forth, and he was down in another state, and he was in the hospital 30 days. And he just resisted things and used his faith. And he got out and said, Lord, thank you for saving my life. Here's what God said. Don't ever remember. Don't ever forget this. I didn't save your life. He said, sir. He said, I didn't save your life. He said, wait a minute. You could have fooled me. I mean, how did I get out? How did I overcome this thing? He said, your faith saved your life. Don't be putting it on God. Well, God doesn't want me out of debt. God sees you already out of debt and being the lender. Well, God doesn't want me healed. He wants you healed yesterday. Well, God doesn't want me married. Are you ready to get married? Listen here. See, what you're doing is you're tripping. You think you are the one that's deciding all this. This has already been decided. God has already... Listen, your name is in the paper. Your name, listen, heaven has already broadcast your victory. No matter what you're going through, heaven sees you a winner. How do I know that? Because if God be for me. Okay, let me go to a close here. All right. Are y'all with me? Now, we're going to get you there. Say, I'm getting there.
Amen.
See, all you got to be is miracle-minded, because he can't go past your okay. You got to okay this. This just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
He said, Jesus, he went to a wedding, took his disciples, and his mother saw him, and she said, son, they've given out a wine. He said, what is that to me? My hour has not yet come. Here's what she said. She didn't even pay any attention to it. Watch this, watch this. Expecting a miracle. Watch this, watch this. Whatever he says to you, just do it.
Yes.
Come on, saints. Isn't that good?
Yes.
God's going to start speaking to you.
Yes.
And whatever he says to you, just do it.
Put this scripture up there. Let's just read the things that are yours. These are yours. These are not going to be yours in the future. These are yours according to heaven right now. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. I'm almost done. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. All right? These are part of your inheritance. This is yours right now. All right? Ready? Read.
Worthy is the Lamb, strength, power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing.
Now give the Lord a praise, because that's what you want. Now I didn't think of this. Did God thought of this? He said he wants you rich. I didn't say that. God said that. And all of a sudden, when you say the saint's supposed to be rich, somebody, well, nah, he doesn't want everybody rich. Okay, so that means he is a respecter of persons. Say amen to that. Yeah, I remember when he talked me out of my Corvette. I just got saved, you know, and I had a Corvette, a red Corvette, and so forth. I just got saved. And what happened when I just got saved, something spoke to me and said, you saved, you're not married, you're driving a red Corvette. You don't want to do that. That's not good for a saved man. I said, well, it's not. I'm talking to the devil now. I think I'm talking to God. It's not. I remember when the devil told me to play the lottery. He said, that's another story. But anyway, took my money. And so here, I said, wow, I'm not supposed to have a Corvette? No, because you be running around too much, see, and so forth. I said, okay. So I put the Corvette in the newspaper. I mean, for little or nothing. I got calls all over the place. Said, listen, I'll be there. I'll get the car this afternoon. I got cash, so forth. And I mean, that's how many people converged in on this deal. I got this one guy showed up, and I thought the other guy was coming, but I told him first come, first served. So this guy came, he had the cash, we made the deal, he drove out in the car. Soon as he drove out, another guy drove into the garage. This is in one of the high-rise luxury apartments downtown and north side Chicago. I mean, I'm living high on the hog, so to speak. And so what happened? This other guy came in and he said, where's the car, Mr. Winston? I said, you just passed it. The guy just drove it out. He said, mister, I told you I was coming over to buy that car cash. I said, he gave me cash. He said, mister, you gave that car away. And that's when it dawned on me. Did I give that car away? No, wait a minute. I went out and bought a car. It was called a Mazda. I don't know whether you ever heard of a Mazda before. And it was rusted out at the bottom where the door closes. And I went in my garage, luxury apartment, parking attendants park our cars. Mr. Winston, yes, sir, we get your car right away. Now, I leave in a Corvette and come back in a Mazda that's smoking. I'm talking about the engine needs work, and I'm driving in, and he said, Mr. Winston, oh, what happened, sir? Watch this. I got saved. No, you didn't. You got tricked. Now, I'm saying salvation comes with all the other good things for it. If God tells you to do something, that's fine. But I'm here to insult anything that the devil told you that is not true. I'm here to refute that and make it so that when I leave this place on tomorrow night, you're going to be full of faith. Lord have mercy. And everything the devil stole from you is coming back, and it's coming back this year. All right, let me end this. All right. Say living from the inside out. Say that. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. All right. Ready? Read that. Keep your heart guarded Because out of your heart are the boundaries of your life. Out of your inside are going to be your boundary. So my boundaries are not outside. My boundaries are inside. If that be you, bid me to come to you on the water. Jesus said what? Come. He walked on the water. Am I right about it? To go to Jesus. Then he took his eyes off Jesus and considered something. And the next thing you know, he began to sink. Lord have mercy. All right. Matthew chapter 15, please. And let's look at Matthew chapter 15. Ooh, glory to God. There's so much I want to tell y'all. And listen, Flo, come on up here. Come here. Come here. I know you hollered it out like that. You didn't think you were going to get anything. But you come on up here. Here's one more $100. All right, in Jesus' name. Did I hear that over here? No, I didn't. You didn't say nothing. All right, wait. Now let's look at this. This is Jesus. He said we're to be like him. Am I right about that? We're to be like him. Look at Matthew chapter 15 and look at verse 30. Let's see that because Jesus is healing people now. Now watch this, verse 30. Watch this now. I want you to read it with me. Come on. Ready? Read. Keep going. Keep going. Now, notice in that group, he had the maimed. Now, what is a maimed person? What is a maimed? What happens when a person is maimed? Am I right about it? They lost an arm. Am I right about it? They may be missing an organ. They may be missing an ear. They're maimed. But what did Jesus do to the maimed? He made them whole. Am I right? Now, notice in the natural, thank God for a prosthetic limb that people can get. A leg or whatever have. Thank God for that. But the church can do better. Did Jesus said what he did you can do?
Yes.
Did he make the maimed whole?
Yes.
Now, if he can do that, Lord have mercy. Come on, church. Come on, stay with me. If he can do that, say, I can do it too. This is what you gotta say. I can do that too. When I was a young man, I used to watch TV and you look at Superman and so forth. And I'm looking at Superman, I used to look at it every day. I would come home from school, turn on, we didn't have a television, so the neighbor had one, and I'd look at Superman every day, every day, every day. Wow, it's just like looking at that Bible every day, every day. And pretty soon, I said, I can do that. And so I bought myself a Superman suit. A shirt, and I had it on. And look, everybody else is in the basketball team have uniforms on. And look what I have on here. I have on a Superman shirt. I'm saying if you're looking in that perfect law of liberty and you're looking in there long enough, you'll become like Jesus. You'll do what he did, say what he said, go where he went. So what happened? Here I was. I said, man, I bet you I can jump off of this house. I bet you. And what do? I got ready. I jumped off of that house. Which way you think I went? Boom. Because it wasn't based on the word of God. So you, God has chosen to demonstrate to the world what he's really like. Now you wait till I come back next time. Because you still think the fish Peter got came out of the lake. No. They came through the lake. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody. Now, what am I saying? I'm ending here. When Jesus fed them 5,000 with two fish, come on, five loaves. Stop looking at fish that are not cooked. Stop looking at bread that's got a little mold on it. Start looking at fresh fish cooked with spices. Come on. And bread still warm coming from heaven. My name is Bill Winston and I approve this message. Been going through, this is the last week you're going through it. That's it. Your life is going to be turned around at this conference, and anything Satan has stolen from you is on its way back starting right now. Give the Lord your best shout.